Hello, welcome to Paranormal is Normal. And this is Richard Allibone talking on webtalkradio.net. And this week we're going to be talking about hypnosis CDs giving self-cures for almost anything. Glenn Harold is my guest, and he has a great story to tell about his cures that really work. Anything from stop smoking forever to creating inner peace, or a cure for almost any phobia. So I'll now introduce you to Glenn Harold, very much the professional hypnotherapist.
Hello there.
Hello, Glenn. Well, first of all, the thing to do, I think, is to talk a little bit about your vast sales and library of hypnosis tapes and CDs that you have on offer.
Yeah.
I see it's about 1.3 million items have been sold,
yeah,
which is very impressive.
Yeah, well, it was. It sounds great now, but at one time I used to, when I very first started, I used to drive around local stores, and I used to really literally take them in, deliver them into stores, you know, little small homemade display units, and that was kind of how it all started. That was probably around 98, 99, and there weren't too many people doing it at the time. You know, it was a very quiet market.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really got excited about making hypnosis recordings. I've been a hypnotherapist for about 10 years by that time, and I've been a musician before that. So I kind of got excited by the idea of making hypnosis recordings. And, you know, I put a lot of heart and soul into them, and I used to take them around to local stores, and that's how it all began.
Yeah. Now, I see you've got 39-odd major topics, and about another 50 for people to cure phobias of one sort or another.
Yeah, I've got a fears and phobias title, yeah.
Which is all very impressive. And as I said, that the quantity of sales really speaks for itself. They have been very successful.
Yeah, they have. I mean, it's something that, you know, I could never have planned when I started. It's just, you know, happened very organically. You know, there was no great marketing plan or anything like that. I just made really good, you know, what I consider to be good recordings that, you know, were going to help people. Because I'd been a hypnotherapist for quite some time before I made recordings, you know, I'd probably seen 1,000 clients in a one-to-one setting before I made my first recording. So that kind of gave me a really good grounding, you know, to make the recordings, because I kind of had a really good idea of how to approach each individual topic, because I'd seen so many people.
Yeah. And you found that, well, presumably your customers have found that the CD works as well as a one-to-one treatment in the majority of cases.
In a lot of cases, yeah. I mean, the feedback I get is wonderful, and from the CDs, and you know, they're also on the App Store now on iTunes, and the feedback I get is fantastic. I'm probably getting, you know, 20 reviews on the App Store every day now. You know, it's absolutely fantastic. But sometimes you need, you know, if the recordings have generalized, so they're not going to hit the mark for everyone all the time. So, you know, if there's a very specific cause as to why you've got a problem, or you've got phobia or whatever it is, then a one-to-one session is the way to go for that, because, you know, the recording may not actually touch on the root cause of it.
Yeah. And now, I've not actually seen any of these myself, apart from just the small clips which are on the internet. Do you have a sort of background to hypnosis?
We include a free guide to self-hypnosis. So there's a 6-page document that goes out, you know, with every recording that people can read about and, you know, really understand what self-hypnosis is all about.
Mm. Yes, I have to say I once read a book about self-hypnosis and had a go, but it didn't really work for me. But I know that I'm the world's worst subject from a hypnosis point of view. But
right.
Anyway, that,
have you been hypnotized before?
Well, I went for a long time to classes, which was sort of meditation, come hypnosis classes, and it did nothing for me until about week 18, when I was was deeply hypnotized, and I had an ecstatic enlightenment, which was very significant. So, but it took me an awful long time to get to that point. Yes, I have to say.
Right.
But
that's the case. Not everyone responds to it differently.
No,
you know, it really does. You know, and with the recordings, you know, 10 people can listen to the Lose Weight CD, and they'll all respond very differently to it. You know, some will, you know, have a transformation and be able to move forward. You know, and you'll get a couple that won't get any benefit from it at all, and then some maybe get a 50% improvement. So it really varies from individual to individual.
Another thing that concerns me a little bit about CD hypnosis is that post-hypnotic suggestions and so on can be very powerful. But so my question is, are they safe? Is there any possibility, do you think, or have you had any feedback from people who have had any sort of problems?
Well, I can honestly say, you know, for the 1.3 million sales that I've had, we've not had any problems, you know, with anyone. You know, people might write in and say that this recording didn't work for me, but we've never had any problems or, you know, any situations where it's caused, made them to feel worse. Or because, you know, one of my main aims when I started making the recordings was to make them, you know, very effective and very powerful, but also very safe. You know, my training was really comprehensive. You know, I did a 2-year diploma with the British School of Clinical Hypnosis, and you know, that was one of their things that they really sort of drilled into us at the time, you know, to make sure that you cover all bases and that you make the sessions very safe. So when I set about making the recordings, that was one of my main aims. You know, I wanted to make them effective and powerful, but they had to be safe as well. So there's lots of warnings, and the suggestions I script every title as well, so you know, I'm very careful about each word. I do tend to ponder over each phrase that I put into the recording, so you know, they're not just thrown together and you know, there's no guesswork involved. It's something that I really take a lot of time over and feel a great responsibility of as well, because you know, it's you know, I feel a real privilege to be you know, I'm in the middle of making a recording at the moment for public speaking and sports performance. I'm just in my studio now, and you know, I'm really aware that you know, thousands of people are going to be listening to these recordings. So when I put them together, I've got that in my mind, and I'm really careful and you know, put a lot of care into what I do.
Now, Glenn, at this point in the proceedings, I like to have a segment where I discuss the implications of my guest's comments. There can be no doubt that your CDs do the job they are intended to do, judging by the volume of sales. So for over 1 million people, the feeling of being hypnotized has become normal. This doesn't necessarily mean that all the 1.3 million have been successfully hypnotized, but obviously most have, which is clearly a great achievement. But for me, the important thing is that this paranormal state has become normal for over 1 million people who have at the same time benefited from your treatments. At one time, I was personally very apprehensive of being hypnotized. Self-hypnosis didn't work for me, and it took about 20 guided meditations before one worked. So I've always regarded hypnosis as very paranormal and a little frightening. You see, the reason for this was that there was no acceptable explanation for hypnosis. It was not good enough for people to say that it accesses the dream state. This is obvious, but is only part of the story. A hypnotist urges his patient to sleep, but keeps him awake by talking to him. So hypnosis is a sort of sleeping state in which we dream. That's pretty obvious. The really important point is that hypnosis is a trance state, and trance is all about limiting consciousness. It inhibits conscious thinking, and I've been aware of this since writing my book Sublimity, during which I discovered how and why we evolved trance, which in fact is extremely simple and obvious. We evolved this consciousness inhibiting trance in order to prevent us inhibiting instinctive behaviour. So when an instinctive action was required 35,000 years ago, something happened which prevented us thinking about it too much, which would have prevented us from carrying out that instinctive action. We had to evolve a method of preventing our new conscious mind from interfering with the all-important instinctive thoughts. And that was when we evolved trance, an automatic mechanism which inhibits the working of consciousness, so that we could not reject the instinctive thought. Apparently this fairly simple idea has never been figured out before, which I find quite amazing, but it does explain what I call instinctive trance, which allows instinctive thought and action. But then the question arises, what about the other trance states that we know about, like meditation, hypnosis, or speaking in tongues? Clearly, it's the same trance state, although about non-instinctive topics. So that same trance mechanism causes what I like to call non-instinctive trance. When I had Joe Griffin on my show recently, I told him that I thought trance was just a consciousness inhibiting mechanism. And he said, "I think you've put your finger on something really important." And I like to think he was right. But something to realize is that trance works both ways. It dulls our conscious mind, allowing a hypnotist to put suggestions directly into our unconsciousness, but also it allows unconscious thoughts to be accepted by consciousness, like instinct and also phobias, depressive thoughts and fears. This is what causes the suffering we call mental illness, which can be treatable by hypnosis. It seems that DIY hypnosis from a CD without the hypnotist being present works fine for phobias and positive suggestions, although treatment one-to-one with a therapist is better for other conditions. So now we can see that hypnosis, which I've viewed as paranormal, is now normal, as it can easily be explained. And our guest this week has proved it's normal for about 1 million people who hypnotize themselves, so that he gives them unconscious therapy for treating whatever problem they may have. And so now we'll come back to you, Glenn, with another question.
One of the things that I had experience of is that it was considered very important to dehypnotize every time. Now I wondered if you do this on your tapes, and how long it takes.
When I first made my recordings, I did I made sure to completely bring people back to full waking consciousness at the end of the session, because for that reason I didn't want to leave people in an altered state of consciousness. But over the years, more and more people have asked me for alternative endings where they're not woken up at the end. So they can, it enables them to use them at bedtime, and they can go into a natural sleep state afterwards. So a lot of my recordings now, the newer ones, have got these alternative sleep endings that they can use at bedtime. And, and I do give suggestions to say that you'll wake up and you'll feel fantastic, you'll feel refreshed and wonderful at the end of it, and you'll sleep well at night. And and they've proved to be very popular. You know, it seems to be what people want and what they've asked me for. So that's the road I've gone down now.
Yeah, I see. Well, that's good. And you've just sort of evolved a different technique.
Yeah, very much, because I've listened to what people have said to me over the years, and, you know, I've kind of, the recordings now are, you know, very much of based on a lot of feedback that I've had as well. So, you know, I've made them, you know, due to the sort of public demand and what people are asking me for.
Yeah, I'm interested in this particularly because we once had a lodger who went to a stage hypnosis show. Which are pretty awful. Now, that night when he came back, he'd forgotten everything that happened on stage, but he was found in our bedroom sleepwalking, fumbling about, you know, and he had
really?
To be led back. He had to be led back to bed, and for a day or two he was in a bit of a state, and this was presumably because, well, it may have been the trauma of the stupidity of the stage hypnosis, but it was probably because he wasn't properly dehypnotized. Do you think that was so? Yeah.
Well, it sounds like he had a reaction to the stage show, definitely. And, you know, there's two very different areas here. And, you know, the stage hypnosis shows are purely for entertainment. And in those shows, the stage hypnotists are looking for the somnambulists in the audience. And they are the 20% of the population who go into very deep trances very quickly and can respond to, you know, suggestions very quickly. And so that's their whole motivation, is to find that 20% of the population who become the stars of the show. And, you know, the thing with hypnosis, it's quite easy to learn it. You know, it's very easy to learn how to put people into trances. And so you do find that there are quite a lot of unethical stage shows that crop up where people have just learned it from a book or someone's taught them it, and then they set up a stage show. And they are the ones that kind of give the whole name of hypnosis a bad name. But, you know, you do find good shows as well. There are people that are, you know, very careful and do dehypnotize or do bring people properly out of the trances at the end of those shows. So it's not the case that they're all wrong. But, you know, my area is hypnotherapy, which is all about using hypnosis for therapeutic ends. And that is a totally different area and something, you know, even the inductions are completely different to the stage show ones. You know, we never rarely use very rapid inductions because, you know, you don't really need to do that in a one-to-one setting. So it's a completely different area. And the real skill with hypnotherapy is using hypnosis and using the trance state to facilitate changes. And that's really where, you know, the study and the 2 years of studying and, you know, the years of practice actually, you know, come into play, because that's where the real art of it, you know, is being able to change patterns of behavior and phobias and anxiety issues in a very short space of time. So I always say that to clients when they come to see me, because most of them have been exposed to stage shows at some point, and so they kind of don't differentiate. You know, but there is a big distinction between stage hypnosis and hypnotherapy in a one-to-one setting.
Yeah. I hadn't seen one of your tapes for lifting depression. Is that an area which is difficult to treat?
It can be. And on a recording, you know, I'm kind of mindful that there's some areas in the, you know, for recordings that are just not, you know, could be a little bit of a minefield. So I tend to, you know, I haven't done anything on depression or past life regression, that kind of thing, because, you know, I've had a lot of requests for those kind of recordings, but, you know, you have to be a little bit careful with those topics, you know, and in one-to-one sessions, you know, you can't help everyone with depression because, you know, depression's such a big subject and there's so many different causes. So I'm very careful with those kind of topics. And, you know, I mean, I've got a self-esteem recording, which people with depression have written to me to say that's helped them a lot, you know, that particular recording. So if someone's cause of depression is got origins in self-esteem, then that recording can help with the depression. But, yeah, I'm kind of a little bit mindful. I wouldn't make a recording for that particular problem.
No, that was, I realized that was a rather difficult area for you. anger management is probably much, much more possible, is it?
Yeah, and funnily enough, that will be one of my newer titles, because quite a few people have asked me for that. So that's something I've got on my shortlist to do in the next, probably next couple of months.
Mm.
And that readily, you know, once you've done the right groundwork. And, you know, so I find kids can be really responsive to it.
Mm. Now, going on to the techniques you use, looking at the website, you use sort of electronic techniques with, there's obviously on the videos anyway, there's electronic sort of spirals and so on, but on the CDs there's music, which is a usual background, subliminal flashing, brief subliminal images of the topic, actual words. And do you use sort of lights or flashing at a particular frequency at all?
Well, what I do on the actual audio recordings, I have subliminal sounds on there, or subliminal messages, I should say. And what they are the affirmations that are on the recordings, but they're subliminal, so you don't actually hear them. They're just below the audio. And with the DVDs and the videos I've got, I've used flashing subliminal imagery, which I think is much more powerful than audio subliminal imagery, subliminals. And what they are is, again, they're the affirmations that are on that title, so you can actually read what they are. You know, there's nothing hidden there. And they flash up on the screen for 1/25th of a second. And the idea is that they bypass the critical analysis factor of the brain, and they're absorbed straight into the subconscious, because you don't actually have a chance to read them. So they're so quick that your unconscious mind is picking them up, but it bypasses your conscious mind. And again, you know, subliminal imagery is an area that's, you know, quite a hot topic, and, you know, because it's possibly been misused in the past. But again, I look at it as another tool to help people move on and change patterns of behavior, and if it's used in the right way, it can be very effective.
Yeah, I see. When I went to these classes many years back, the fellow made a great play of 6 hertz, at 6 cycles a second, sort of subliminal flashing lights. We were in a classroom, and he contrived to make the fluorescent lighting flicker very slightly. It was subliminal, but apparently it did get into the subconscious and was a big factor in inducing deep hypnosis.
It takes the 6 cycles a second takes you down to the theta state. That's the brain cycle. So when you're in the theta state, your brain is at that cycle, that frequency. And so if you're creating that externally, the idea is that the brain will respond to that and go down to that theta level.
The class that I went to, the fellow's name was Max Cade, and he was very into the depth of hypnosis, mm-hmm. the depth of trance that people went into.
Yeah.
When I went into deep trance, I had this incredible enlightenment experience, which is something I shall always remember. I do know that people under hypnosis sometimes have this. I spoke to a fellow once who'd had this, and the therapist realized and let him sort of come out of it gradually, whereas on a CD, of course, one isn't able to do that.
No.
Do you get feedback from people that have had a strange experience under hypnosis?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've literally seen thousands of clients over the years, and you know, some of my more unusual sessions that come to mind are, you know, where people have had spontaneous reactions under hypnosis.
it's all been very interesting. I wonder if you could, perhaps you could tell our listeners the website, well, your website is glennharold.com, is that right?
Yeah, I've got, my personal website is glennharold.com. I've got, where all my recordings are sold is hypnosisaudio.com. I've got a Facebook fan page, which is, you know, a great community. People leave a lot of feedback on the page there. And, you know, I communicate with everyone on that page as well. And, yeah, I've got a Twitter account as well if people want to follow me there. And, yeah, that's it.
So it's a full-time business, I'm sure.
I feel really grateful for doing it as well. You know, I feel it's a real privilege to be doing what I'm doing, you know, to make a recording that gets heard by so many people. So, yeah. It's a wonderful job.
Yes. Well, thanks very much for speaking to me today. And
you're welcome.
I hope that our listeners will consider buying some of your Glenn Harold tapes.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you found that as interesting as I did, and realise that although hypnosis is a very special state, almost paranormal, it is a perfectly normal and worthwhile thing to do. Glenn has found that people benefit by regular sessions at bedtime where the listener receives the suggestions directly into the subconscious and then falls asleep at the end of the session, which can be very beneficial. He does give alternative endings if the CDs are listened to during the day when the more usual dehypnotizing routine is followed. Concerning stage hypnosis, you will have appreciated my own very negative views on the subject because I saw someone sleepwalking after a stage show. Glenn, however, did say that some shows are carefully organised to protect people from any harm, should they join in, but I fear these shows are not in the majority. I was also interested to hear if Glenn used subliminal audio or video. He did say he uses subliminal audio reinforcement of the main message on his CDs, but that flashing subliminals on his videos were more successful. He also said that six-cycle subliminal flashing helps with the induction, which is what I had personally experienced. Hypnosis and trance is a very wide subject, some of which we've explored today. There's much more in my book, Sublimity, in which a synthesis of all trance states are demystified, including hypnosis and delusion. I host a show on a different topic every week on webtalkradio.net, showing that paranormal is normal. This is Richard Allibone, thanking you for listening. Goodbye.